Good morning, 6:47 a.m. Yeah, 6:47 a.m. It's not a school day. On today, Friday, September the 20th, today is the first day of the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers Association annual meet, a meet which I will, again, not attend. There's a couple of issues that I have to deal with this morning. The Rocky Mountain Fiction Writing one was just popped to the top of my head a second ago. Seventeen minutes on the first mile. Not too bad. I'm quite chilly this morning. I'm also dressed for 50 degree weather this morning. And it's not raining and blowing, so yeah, I'm okay. Yesterday was scary, but I'm okay. I didn't want to come out today, but I figured after yesterday, I better get back on the horse. So, Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers. I'm a member of the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers, and they're struggling with this idea of indies, because more and more of their members are indies. They're self-pubs. They are people who do not fit their carefully crafted definition of a pro writer, despite the fact that some of us actually are making a living writing, which kind of buries the dirty little secret. There's also a movement within SFWA, the Science Fiction Writers of America, which is arguably the largest industry trade group for science fiction and fantasy writers. To redo their rules to allow indies. The big concern there, of course, is that what they're going to do is create a kind of ghetto level that is somehow roughly halfway between their associate member, who is somebody who just dabbles, and their pro member, who is somebody who has accepted a ruinous contract. Oh, I'm sorry, who has accepted a mainstream publication offer for their fiction. Now, short story writers have it pretty easy, because short story writers just have to sell a couple stories a year. And, of course, that's not easy, given how few pro markets there are, and how few of those markets SFWA recognizes as pro-level markets. But at least you can write the story, kick it out, maybe get it published. And if you get it published, then I think you have to do 3 of those a year or something. And then you're eligible to be a full $90 a year dues-paying member and earn the privilege of gaining access to their group health insurance plan, the value of which may well be somewhat lessened by plans to revamp the Affordable Health Care, or implement the Affordable Health Care Act in the U.S. So, yeah, they're trying to do. They asked me actually to serve on an advisory board last year. But then nothing ever happened. I never heard of any board meetings. I never heard any planning meetings. I think there was one sometime last November-ish. At a time and date where I could not attend, naturally. Because, of course, they're going to be in Denver. And they're going to be in the evening. They're not going to be, like, on a weekend or, heaven forfend, during the day, where professional writers who don't really have to deal with day job constraints could perhaps attend. So anyway, this weekend, starting today, is their big annual confab. And I've written to them several times about you know, I'd really like to attend, but there's nothing in this conference for me. It's heavily geared toward entry-level craft. So, the five parts of a story, and how to implement the three-act structure, and very, very low-level craft kinds of discussions, and mostly they're workshops that you actually have to pay extra for. Some aren't, and give them their due. And the rest of it is geared toward how to talk to publishers, how to get an agent, how to write a query letter. Some of the biggest sessions are the 30-second query or the 1-minute query or whatever. And the big draw is private one-on-one time with agents to help craft your pitch. And for me, it's sort of like, and second prize is 2 sessions with agents to help craft your pitch. Yeah, so as much as I would like to be a participant in the local infrastructure, the local environment, there's this problem that I have, and that no, which takes me back to what would I want to see? What would I go for? Now, the reality is that I learned long ago that these kinds of professional level conventions, not to fan conventions, the pro level conventions are an opportunity to get together with peers, with fellow practitioners, to recharge batteries, to bond with people who are with you in the trenches. To, as time goes on, visit with people who you've come to know more and more. And they become friends. They become more than just people whose names you recognize. So, I realize that there's stuff there beyond the programming. But if the programming isn't there, there's nothing to draw me down. There's nothing to indicate that the people who are there are in fact doing the kinds of things that I want to do, which is write better, write more, both of which are completely within my control. But which, to be honest, I do periodically need to have my batteries recharged so that I can do any of it. I missed out on my annual recharge Balticon in the spring, and that's had huge repercussions with my ability to focus, with my ability to actually deal. It's been certainly gratifying that having done the new release launch and then having just done this promotional work, that it's gone as well as it's gone. I was talking to John Ward last night, who's going to go on a hangout and talk about the experiment, and would I do it again? And to be quite honest, today I can put the prices back up to their normal price. In fact, I have to put the prices back up to my normal price today. So, there's something I need to do. Get them going through the queue. And the answer is, maybe. Now, the problem is that my books are by themselves, as they sit, relatively successful. Certainly more successful than many. Probably more successful than most. When I start talking about, you know, what my monthly sales are by title, and people are like, really? Yeah, really. So it's interesting to, you know, it's like, because they're relatively high by comparison to the rest of the industry. There's less room for improvement for me to gain. Good morning. I got a limp this morning.
Yeah, I'm trying to work it out.
Monk Paul. Poor old Beagle's kind of hobbling along. So, yeah, in a way I'm a victim of my success in that the venues for advertising just don't pull the numbers. It's difficult to see the benefit of a 1% improvement. Now, the Nook stuff was good. I have to preface that with, and I don't sell very well on Nook. I don't sell anything by comparison on Kobo. But Nook had a very good month in terms of units sold. And the problem is, of course, that the majority of the units sold were the 99 cent books. Outstripping even the Captain's Share rollout that happened over on the Nook, which was very successful. It was the biggest month ever. And now I've got a month, I think, I have to go check, but I think it's like twice as much. So twice as many units sold, which is still much smaller than I would normally sell on Amazon, on the Kindle. So was there benefit in doing it? Yeah, I earned the ad back, so I'm not in the hole. My revenue stream was pushed down because I sold so many books at the discounted rate. Five times more books at 1/10 the revenue is not a long-term winning strategy. But the other side of it is there's more people now who have book one and a lesser but still larger number that have book two. And we'll see whether or not that translates into improved standings for books three through five and get some ready for book six. Oh, please, book six. I need my edits, book six. Some interesting challenges there. But what can I get from a professional organization? What would a professional organization offer me? And this is one of the questions that I was asking back in the education days when I was considering AACT, which was my educational professional organization. It's a small group, which I got along with famously. I really enjoyed the work that I did with them. It was being an intern at their annual conference and then going back year after year after year was a staggeringly important piece of my professional development. I always went and presented at least one paper, so in effect I was always on a panel. But there was also no comp, and it was like $600 a year to go to this thing. And being on the panel only meant you got to pay the $600. And one of the things that they were constantly doing was increasing the number of panels so they could increase the number of participants so that they could make their book with the hotels. So it was sort of an unfortunate situation because they kept getting more and more people with lower and lower quality presentations who would come and present just so that they would have the justification to get the registration reimbursement from their home institutions. They couldn't afford to go if the institution didn't pay the $600 registration fee because they're academics don't get paid very much. They still get paid better than Walmart, but more and more it's not quite so much more than Walmart, particularly with the increase in the use of part-time and adjunct faculty who have no benefits to take on more and more the parallel lives of fast food workers. And I calculated that I made $2 a day for the last class I taught. That was like, seriously? Yeah, it was $2,500 in cash over 15 weeks. And more, because then there were people who needed incompletes, and I had to give them incompletes, and then had to come back and revisit their grades for another whole semester. And I didn't get paid for that because I was no longer an adjunct. It was no longer part of my paid duties. It was something I was required to do for free, which I, you know, it's like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I just can't afford the time. I can't afford the psychic drain. So, but what does an organization offer? And the majority of the professional organizations grew up in a different time. They grew up in the only way to network with your peers, to talk to the people who were doing the work that you were doing, was to attend one of these annual collections. People who are doing research in your field, people who are doing work in your field, people who are practitioners, and from whom you can learn and gain insight. And the only way to do that cost effectively was to go to a convention, because there was no internet, there was no online conferencing. You might call them on the phone, but no cell phones, so long distance charges were like $1 a minute in the US, and much higher when you called overseas. So yeah, in a different time, in an older time, in a time before the singularity, there was no other way to do it but to go to a conference. And so people went to conferences. Just like in an older time, there was no other way to reach an audience than by going to a publisher. So you went to a publisher. But now, I can build communities made up of the people who are doing the work that I do. Some of whom are in the same stage of career development. Some of whom are ahead. Some of whom are behind. Some of whom are kind of twat. Kind of a little bit difficult to deal with. One might argue that I am such a person. So, some interesting changes in the world that grew up since conferences and professional organizations became really important. And 17 minutes on the backside, that's pretty good, I'll take it. So 34 minutes, 35 minutes on the total walk. Yeah, rock on. So I don't know, it's like, what can they offer? Lobbying, for one thing, I suppose, but to whom would CIFL lobby? Publishers? I don't give a crap about publishers. Bookstores? I don't care about bookstores. Amazon? Why? Barnes & Noble? I don't think so. So there's this question of what do they offer anyone? And what would they offer me? And why do I need to join a professional organization to do it? So some interesting questions that are banging around in my head. But right now I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.